Well, this morning we're going to be teaching again, looking into the area of faith. I titled this one Difference because we're going to specifically look at the prayer of faith. The Lord spoke to me about this some time ago, about getting over into this area, because we've been teaching on faith. We've been looking at faith itself. And I want to, you know, we want to look at it. The Apostle Paul wrote at the church at Romans, and he was teaching the difference between the righteousness which was by faith and the righteousness which was by works. And the Apostle Paul wrote this in Romans, the third chapter, excuse me, in verse 27 and 28, he says, "Where is boasting then? Is it is excluded by what law?" He said, "Of works? No, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. And how is he justified? By the law of faith." There is a law of faith. We talked about that. And you need to keep this thing clear before you. If you would sit down today and you went ask most Christians, and I would just say this, you would find this out. If you went out here and probably asked a good 95% of Christians and asked them the rules of the law of faith, they wouldn't have a clue. Well, just trust the Lord. Just trust. That's the stuff. They don't know. There's a law of faith. And a law has things that cause it to work. And you have to know what they are. You need to understand what's required. And that's what we've been teaching. I did 17 weeks of teaching on things about the law of faith and its operation. And we dealt with three parts. First, we dealt with the believing in your heart. We talked about that. We talked about the confession of your mouth. And then actions. Those all three fit into the law of faith. Many people do one part and they said, "Well, I'm doing faith." No, you're not. We have to put them all together. The law requires us to do something, and it's important for us to understand that. You know, even though you have did in communion with redemption, even though you have been redeemed from spiritual death, which all mankind is, we has already been redeemed. God's done all he's going to do to redeem man. He isn't going to do any more to redeem man. It's man's job now to receive their redemption. That's what the part of it is. You know, from legally, everybody's redeemed legally, from a legal perspective. But see, being legally, having something legally and actually obtaining it is two different things. And I want to explain this to you. I was looking this past week online. They were talking about some federal lawsuits that were filed for certain things. And I was just sort of interested. So I went over to look up those lawsuits, and I went and looked through the things on the filings on these lawsuits. Well, you know, you go to court, and you'll find that, like, you know, these filings that they've done, they may have gone through one court and they had a certain ruling and they took it to another court. But you find out in these filings that all these procedures that you have to go through to file for something in a court. In other words, there are certain rules that you have to follow legally. Now, you know, the court, really at the bottom line of it is this. The court doesn't make a decision that you're right or wrong based on whether you're right or wrong. It's on how you file things. You can be completely right about something and your filing's wrong, it'll be thrown out of court. It's chucked. And when I was looking through some of these, I found this, where they had to turn around and refile things, and they had to do these different things because they were filed wrong. Now, understand this, in our legal system, that's why we hire attorneys, because they made the system so complicated, you couldn't figure it out and do any of these filings yourself. You have to get somebody who might know a little bit more, but may not be so bright, because lots of times you find out attorneys ain't so bright. They don't know. And because there's so many things to go through. But even though you are justified on what you're going to court for, doesn't mean you're going to get the outcome you want. You can only get your legal rights by following how the court has set up to do it. In other words, there's rules or there's laws to follow to do that. Even though you're redeemed from the curse of the law, you may never be well, you may never have money, and you may, like most humanity, walking around in spiritual death. Why? Because there's laws. There's the law that we have to follow of faith to be born again. There's certain things that you must believe to and do to be born again. There's certain things that tells us. You got to believe Jesus is Lord. That's one of the things. You have to confess His Lordship. You got to believe God raised Him from the dead. That's a requirement of salvation. Yet most of the church world says, just ask Him to forgive you of your sin. Ask Jesus to come into your heart. They don't follow the rules. Heaven's court throws them out. Their filing is wrong. I love the thing. See, I was taught by Kenneth Hagin. Kenneth Hagin, he used to say this to us. He used to say, you know, call things what the Bible calls them. You know, these new words they add today and all this nonsense and stuff. Because you go to the Bible, you call it what the Bible says, and you go look it up, you can find where it's right, where it's at. You can find out what you're supposed to do. You know, I'm not looking for new words or a new slang to preach so I can, you know, certain group. We can just, you know, they need to come over and get into the slang of the Bible. Because we've turned around and done change the Bible, and we put things we call translations out here that ain't even translations. They are nothing but written to please the people who don't want to really follow God. They ain't translations of the Bible. They have all kind of junk in them that is ungodly and is not what the Bible said. They have verses removed. They have things. I don't say it the way they like to say it. No, because why? It makes people uncomfortable. Well, there's one thing is you need to understand about this. They can't get anything from God doing that. Because you ain't going to come and I don't care what rights God has given you. You're going to have to approach God. You approach the judge of heaven and earth on the basis of what he said. And filing, if you want to file a complaint before God, you better know what the Bible says. He's not interested in, well, I don't think this is fair. He's not interested in what you think is fair or not fair. He has no interest in it whatsoever. You need to understand this. Most Christians' prayers are never heard by God. I can prove it scripturally. John wrote and told how you can know that if he hears you, but you have a certain procedure that you can know, and if you don't follow it, he don't hear you. Just like the judge in a court, if you don't have your filings right, he won't hear your case. Now, we don't like to think about these things with God because, see, we made up another Jesus. We made up another God. Not according to Scripture, but according to what makes people feel comfortable. God's love, and He's just listening to everybody and everything. Man, He's listening to a lot of nonsense, ain't He? And this is important things. It's because, see, we're going to deal in the areas of prayer, and we're going to deal with what we call, what the Scriptures call the prayer of faith. It's important we look at these things, and this is why I'm talking to you. It's not to discourage anybody. God gave us a simple thing of how this works. And to do anything else with it, well, don't expect a good result. This is why so many people don't get their prayers answered. This is why they don't work. It's because they follow their own rules instead of the rules that the Bible established. If you want a hearing before God and get what you want, you have to approach Him in the same way that He has given to you to approach. If He's told you to do it a certain way, He wouldn't say that, but you're so special, you don't have to. You're just so special. No, everybody's the same. Everyone's the same. And see, God's not a man. He don't change it because, you know, some judges, I just don't like it that way. This is what we have today. Now judges are changing things. You know, we deal with the Constitution. Like, you know, the Constitution has more or less been thrown out by a lot of judges. You know, just the fact of, abortion's a totally 100% unconstitutional. It's unconstitutional. According to the Constitution, you can't have it. But people courts bypassed it. They turned around and said you could. As another thing, we have what we call precedents. Now, they do that called precedent. There was zero precedence for abortion. Zero precedence of under legal law to have it. Yet we had a Supreme Court that passed it through. These people are, and we. You want to know why? No, we have in our land, we have so much nonsense going on, criminal activity. It's because the criminals are at the top of the chain. This is why in the church is so messed up. The criminals are on the top of the chain today. People ain't following the Word of God. Ministers aren't following the Word of God. They're following all kind of junk. They're finding all, and what it does, it passes down on through. They don't do right. Why should I do right? They don't follow the law. So people say, well, why should I follow the law? They don't follow the law. Why should I do it? I know I worked in a prison. And that was the whole thing. They watched. They watched the system. And these people, why should I follow the law? Why should I have to turn around and be out, you know, here and worry about whether I would give government secrets away when Hillary Clinton could just go out here and do it all and don't have nothing ever happen to her? Why? I'm going to tell you, loads of people are watching that and saying, why? Why can't I break the law? They break the law and make money. I'm going to break the law and make money. We have a lot of criminals doing a lot of stuff because of them. They look at this thing. They realize we live in an unjust. God's never unjust, and this is why. Quit. If you're going to follow God, you can't look at the system of mankind and get it. Mankind's system. You know, there's to say, well, the reason we can learn to walk with God by looking at our own father. Well, my own dad wasn't a really good example of following God. My dad was a good man, but he didn't know much. He didn't know much about God and how God did things. So when I got born again, he didn't. What I have to look at is what the God gave me. It's called the Bible. If I looked into the natural, what do you do with a guy that has comes out of a really bad family? Well, then he has no comparison to what God is, so he can never find out, so he ain't going to ever live right. No, we have been given the book that tells us how to do it, how to approach God, what our Father's like. We have that, and we need to follow that. What tells us in the Bible what he likes and what he don't like. You know, God hates sin. He don't have a dislike for it. He hates it. If I sin, he hates it. Oh, I thought he just loved me so much. He does. He loves you so much, you're allowed to go to hell. Literally. That's how much he loves you. He'll let you pick your spot. That's how much he loves you. But see, God has established rules, and we know the whole thing. And I love the established rules on these things, because if I know what the rules are, I can make it work and I can live on the blessing of it. But when we have this, everybody got their own rules and their own ideas and their own stuff. We shouldn't be surprised so much doesn't work. And so we need to get over to begin to look at these things. Approaching God in prayer, and especially we call the prayer of faith. And most people, their idea of praying to God by faith, well, you know, is more or less, I'm going to go to God and try to beg and get him to do something for me. I need something. I'm having a problem and I need it fixed. Well, that's not the basis of going. You know, it's not the basis to go to court on the basis you got a problem. Do you have a legal right to present a case to the court of your problem? You know, there's some problem, things that go on. You have no legal right to it. You know, our government is set up, there's many things you can never sue the government about. You can never sue them. Because it's the law, you can't do it. You just can't sue them. So, don't matter whether you were done wrong or not, you don't have a legal right to sue them. And see, we need to understand things. You have to, it isn't a matter of something ought to be done. Something, see, this is what people get. And they look at a system. God's system. God sets down his system of what he will do and how he'll bless and what he'll do. And he tells us how he'll do it. And see, when men start operating all this other stuff and dragging in, it's like I was talking this morning, got a special way of offering, this certain special. We got to stop this stupidity in the church world, this special way of doing things. It's not special. Look what Jesus said. Look what the word says that we're supposed to do simplistically. And it's easy. Most of it is so simple, but we've clouded it with all kind of other of our ideas and our religious traditions of things, and through clouding it, people come, even though God wants them to be blessed, they never get blessed. Even though I've been redeemed from the curse, I can live my entire life out, live like I'm cursed. Most Christians will. Most Christians will live their life just like the world does. Exactly. They don't get any more. You know, I've noticed in the church world, I've been in the body of Christ now for a good piece of time. And you know, most Christians that I know, they don't get any more things. And I'm talking about spirit-filled. I'm talking about the people I've been around. Most spirit-filled Christians don't get any more, even when they go to the doctor. Don't work any better for them than it does for the sinner. See, it doesn't matter if God, Christ redeemed you from sickness and disease. You've got to know how to cooperate with faith. Without faith, Romans says, right? Hebrews tells us in Hebrews 11 chapter verse 6, without faith it's impossible to please him. See, and I've talked about this before in talking the areas of faith and healing. If you go to a doctor, you should recover faster than the world does. If you don't, you have no proof you had any faith in it at all. You should do better. Well, shouldn't you? I mean, if trust in God is so beneficial, shouldn't we see a benefit? Shouldn't we? You know, if we don't deal with these issues, nothing ever changes with it. You know, I went along and things, I'm thinking, man, it didn't, this thing, I didn't come with the outcome that I wanted. So I stopped and said, God, what did you do? Why are you making me sick? Why are you keeping me sick for a purpose? I never even entered my mind. I thought, where did I mess up? Most Christians will stop and start questioning God about what he did. If it's not working, it's because the judge won't hear your case. The judge ain't listening to your case. Why? Because you're not presenting him the rules that show that you're allowed to have what you're asking for. You're not providing it in the way that he said you're supposed to. Just because it belongs to you, you must have faith. And faith ain't, well, I'm just trusting the Lord. I often wonder, I hear people say that. What on earth are you talking about? Because most people use it out of context most of the time. They're usually say, I'm trusting the Lord, and they say that when it's not working. Well, I'm just trusting God. And that's the answer to, don't seem like anything's happening, as nothing's working. And he says, well, I'm trusting the Lord. And then I always love it. They say, well, I'm praying and trusting the Lord. Well, what are you praying and trusting the Lord that ain't working? I want to know. See, I come over the thing. It's like, you know, you need to go online, and you can even go to Amazon, buy that little Kenneth Hagin book. It's called Don't Blame God. Buy a dozen of them and put them all over everything that you're around, that you always pick it up and look at till you come to the place. I, from a baby Christian, got that book, and I'm glad I learned that. I learned I don't blame God. If something isn't working, there's something wrong with it. There ain't nothing wrong with God. Never. It's me. If it's not working, something's wrong with me. Why? I've been redeemed from the curse of the law. Now, did he lie? Did he lie and leave some sickness there for me to have to teach me something? And he left some poverty there too. And he left me some spiritual death. I didn't get totally redeemed from sin. I still got a bucket of it he left in my life just so I can, you know, just to remind me to teach. I'll tell you, sin will teach you. It'll teach you you don't want to sin no more because the outcome. You know, it looks good at the time. You know, sin's good for a season. It seems fun when you're doing it. But all of a sudden, sin seasons end. Ain't no fun no more. You ask the drug addict, how did the fun season do? They had a time when they started off in drugs, it was fun. Ain't fun no more. And so when the not fun comes and people sit around, I don't understand why God. Let's not go there. Folks, this is good preaching. This is good stuff. But see, this is why we want to look at things. If we're going to pray especially, we dealt with two things on dealing with this from a Mark the 11th chapter. It's one of the things in Mark the 11th chapter, and we use verses 20. I'm going to use verses 20 through to 25 because the Lord told me to specifically make mention of something we talked about before, but make mention about it again. But one of the things we see in verse 22, Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Or we talked about, have faith like God has faith. That's basically what he's saying. We're to have faith like God has faith. So we understand if we're going to please God, we must have faith like his, not faith like man says. Not what you think faith is. It's having faith like he said. That's what will bring things to pass. Understand this. If you don't have that straightened out, forget Mark 11, 23 and 24. They're just useless scriptures for you. It's to have faith like God has faith. Having faith like God has faith. Well, he said here, for surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain be removed and be cast in the sea and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. That's the foundational principle that Jesus laid out of faith. Faith is believing in your heart and saying something with your mouth. That's where it all starts. You believe something in your heart and then you say it with your mouth. So we talked about that. What is it? To believe in a heart. That was believing in your spirit. Now, one of the things is the Lord taught me concerning this scripture specifically one day as I was doing some meditation and I'd been doing some things. And the Lord said this to me. He said, do you notice that Jesus never prayed about the wind, about the storms, or about the tree? He said, you say to things. He said, in other words, animate objects, things around, he didn't pray about them. He spoke to them. And he said to me, did you notice that? I said, no, I hadn't noticed. He said, you notice he didn't pray about those things. He spoke to them. And when I got that revelation, I began to put that to work. There's things in the natural. When I want them to change, I begin to talk to them. I talk to them and tell them what I want them to do. I tell the concerning that. Now, we went in through there, Mark 11:23. We spent a lot of time looking at believing in the heart and making a confession with your mouth. See, that's what, if you don't understand this principle, then you aren't going to understand going over to pray, because prayer uses, in the prayer of faith, specifically the prayer of faith, there's more than one kind of prayer than the prayer of faith, but the prayer of faith uses this principle. This principle is converted to a prayer principle, and you need to understand what it says and what it does. So, but this is the principle. You must believe something in your heart. The prayer of faith is not going to work for you unless you believe something in your heart and don't doubt. If you have doubt, just forget your prayer of faith. It's not going to work. James said, don't let the guy that's doubting believe he'll receive anything from God. He's a double-minded man. What was the double mind? He has the mind of his spirit that says one thing, but he keeps listening to his other mind. And one time he's saying what God says, and next time he's saying what's on his mind. Oh, my words. I learned. Man, I've said too many things in life that was on my mind. I should not have said. And so have you. But you want to ruin your faith? Get talking what's on your mind. If you ain't got the word of God on your mind, don't be saying. Get it out of the inside. So he's dealing. In other words, this principle, believing something in your heart and then saying something. Understand this about prayer. Prayer is about using your mouth. You cannot think prayer. We don't think prayer. We say prayers. They are words spoken. That's a principle of faith. Faith is words spoken. You can't pray the prayer of faith by thought. Impossible. That's totally impossible. Why? You got to say it. Didn't he say you speak to the mountain? He said, if you just think to the mountain will go away. Say, who's that crazy guy out there speaking that mountain? It's me and Jesus. Let me alone. He talked to trees, and I'm sure his disciples thought, what on earth is that boy doing? They just didn't put that in the scripture. They didn't write that part in. They didn't tell you what those boys were thinking about him. Because they were all shocked when they found the tree dead when they came back. They were looking, folks, so we know, I know what they were thinking. I've been around. They were thinking, oh, here he goes again. But he spoke to the tree. But this is, understand, so we're talking about praying. Praying is about believing something in your heart and then saying it in your mouth. Now, Jesus tells us, and this is why, Jesus, not some other, it ain't what Ed Gibson thinks about it. It's not what some other minister says about the thing. Jesus told us specifically exactly what we need to do in the prayer of faith. He told us exactly. He didn't give us 47 steps. How faith works? Faith works why? Believing something, saying it with your mouth, acting like it's true. That's simple. If you're doing anything besides that, you're not walking in faith. Anything, you're adding things to it. People add their stuff to it all the time. One of the things I will say to this, if you're going to live a life of faith, learn to be led by the Spirit. Led by the inner man. The inner man, especially the Spirit, and especially the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost will always lead the inner man in line with the Word. Always. And he will never come up with a new idea. Or we got this new thing now, you know, that it wasn't relevant back then, but today it's relevant. It doesn't exist, and I have never heard the Holy Spirit do that to me. The Holy Spirit over the years has shown me thousands of things that are irrelevant that the church teaches today, that are outside the Word of God, that most Christians believe. Because they listen to all this government, the new ideas, you know, and I got a new revelation on giving. Yeah, it's how to take money out of your pocket and put it in mine. That's a new revelation. Man, the old one, you don't fall in for the old one anymore. I got to get you a new one. When you use manipulation to get people, you're going to have to use more manipulation to keep them in the spot to where they are, because it wears out, because it's all psychological. Manipulation is psychological. God has never had a problem getting me to give. Why? Because I don't operate in psychological giving. So it's never a problem. People who are up and down and giving, they're psychological givers. That's what they are. They're psychological givers. They give when they feel good and it seems nice and all, and I got turned on by that message. Yeah, the message reached them psychological. 2 months down the road, they ain't giving anymore. Why? It all was in their mind. They never got it in their heart. See, I got it in my heart as a young Christian. I started out giving, and I'm still doing it, and stronger now than I was before, because it's in me, it's in my spirit. It's on the inside. I don't emotionally give. You can't move me emotionally given, because I have a stronger motive than emotion. And it's more powerful, and it returns to me. Psychology will produce nothing for you, but after a while, wanting and lacking. That's what it's going to produce for you. It's not going to give you what you want. That's why you want to get this thing working on the inside. That's why we want to listen to Jesus. Jesus lays out the principle. Now, when Jesus tells us how the prayer of faith works, it is so simple. It is so easy. You're going to have to really work hard to do it some other way. I mean, to turn this stuff around, you're going to have to come up with something really crazy. Now, the prayer of faith, he says this, therefore I say to you, in other words, because of what I just said to you, believing something in your heart and saying with your mouth how what it would work and put the power of God to work to move that mountain. He said, now look, therefore, when I say this, he said, whatever thing you ask. Now, that word ask there, if you would look it up in the concordance, actually that Greek word could mean ask. Now, the King James says desire, which actually that word is could be translated desire. And really, in a sense, it's all these, ask, desire, and also to require. To require. What do you require? Well, who are you to say what you require? This is the whole thing. In other words, he said the things that you ask, it's about things. Didn't he say things? See, you spoke to a mountain was a thing, wasn't it? See, people say, well, God's not interested in all this thing stuff. Well, I'm sorry, poor old Jesus did know it. It's only these dumb preachers that know it. They have the great revelation. Jesus ought to go to their church and listen to them so they can find this stuff out. Jesus said things. The things that you ask for, hallelujah. In this life, there's things you need. Jesus, talking of things, said God wanted to dress you better than Solomon. Oh, boy, you do that today, and man, they'll crucify you, and they'll be, and the same guys who crucify you will be gambling for your garment. I'll guarantee you, they will. Hallelujah. But he said, so whatever you ask, he says, when you pray. Okay, when you're praying, what you're asking for, now he's going to tell you what to do. Now, this is when you want it. Now, number one, remember back we started. We're having the God kind of faith. Faith, and really what we're dealing with is faith in the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. In other words, you have to have a foundation of the Word of God that you're allowed to have. If you don't, see, this is what a lot of people don't do. They come to God. They don't, well, maybe God don't want me to have it. I'll ask and see. If it shows up, then that many wanted me to have it. And they call that a prayer. That wasn't even a prayer. God ignored it completely. He ignored it completely. It was not a prayer because it doesn't follow in the principles of what a faith prayer is. When you ask, it don't follow the principle. So he said, whatever you ask. Now listen, when he says you're supposed to do. Now here's what he tells you. The thing you're asking for, he said, believe that you receive them and you'll have them. In other words, at the time that you pray, you need to believe that God gave it to you before you see it with your eye, feel it, or whatever else. You're supposed to believe he said, yes, you can have it. Now, Jesus made this statement. Now, think about this. If God sometimes says yes and sometimes says no, Jesus lied here. How could I believe I receive it if God plans not on giving it to me? Here I'm believing I receive it, and I didn't. He ain't going to give it to me. You see how all this religious junk? I mean, there's many people, and they don't deliberately lie, but I'm going to tell you, Jesus is lied about in the church more than any other group, even in the outside, lies about him. He's lied about in the church. Because of religious traditions, people following instead of the laws that God established, they made up their own and all these things, and then they go around and lie about Jesus. See, God's always good to his word. You know, like Mike was talking about, you know, the seed. You got a good seed and you plant it in the ground. If you better do something if you don't want that thing to come up. It's going to come. It's going to produce something. If you let water get on that thing in the ground, you got whatever it is. If you want to stop it, you're going to have to stomp it and stomp it. Do something to kill that thing. It's coming up. I'm going to tell you, the word of God believed and acted upon, as the scripture says, it cannot help but come up. It has to. It must come up. We would think, wouldn't you go out if you went out and you had a flower garden and you planted seeds in there and they didn't come up? Wouldn't you be surprised that they didn't come up? Or you'd walk out there and say, well, sometimes God lets them grow and sometimes he don't. And would you go out there and say something that dumb and your sinful neighbor looks over next door and says, you know, I don't want to have nothing to do with that idiot's religion. That's what I did as a kid. I didn't want to be a part of the idiot religion. I didn't want to be a part of what they called Christianity because it was nuts. There was no security to it at all. There was nothing, you know. They weren't even so sure they were going to end up in heaven. Oh, pray for me and I might be true and faithful to the end. They used to get up that they have a testimony meeting and they would end their testimony with like, God might chuck me out. Pray for me and I might just hang on here. And I used to sit there as a kid and listen to it and I used to think, my God, the saints can't make it. I ain't got a chance. These people are on the top, don't even know if they're going to make it. What chance do I have? Hallelujah. Thank God, the Bible is the place of security. The Bible is the place of security. The Word of God is my security. It's my substance. Hallelujah. It's the place I can stand and be guaranteed. Now, you got to do this. So if you're going to pray the prayer of faith, the prayer of faith is the fact that we believe in our heart something and we ask God for it, but when we ask for it, we are supposed to believe right at that time that I asked for it, he said, yes, it belongs to me. If you haven't done that and you're walking away and not doing that, if you're going around and saying, well, I'm just praying and believing, well, what are you praying about? I thought you asked for it and believed you got it. You wouldn't be praying about it anymore if you believed you got it. Now, this is a prayer of faith. There's other prayers that you can pray more than one time, but the prayer of faith can't. If you just keep going back, we're going to go. I'm going to show you the principles. And as we go through this, we're going to go through and look exactly what Jesus said on many things. Jesus said, and which will prove contradictory to man and going back and hounding God and hounding God and hounding God and doing that kind of prayer, how detrimental that is to you. And it is. It's why things don't work. Kenneth Hagin said this after 50 years of ministry. He said, I never prayed one prayer concerning the prayer of faith in himself, not one in 50 years that I didn't get the answer that I asked for. Not one. I know how he did it. He used this principle. He obeyed it. He didn't listen to what other people preached and said. He didn't pay attention to what anybody else. He paid attention to what Jesus said and didn't have anything else. And you know what? 50 years, never one time, I got to say this, he did better than it. Sometimes I slipped up and had to go back and get in line with what the Word said again. See, this is not taking a shot at something. I want you to think about this. It's morning in communion. You have already been redeemed from the curse of the law. If you don't get this stuff and you don't understand this and you're chosen, I'm not trying to get healed. I've been redeemed from it. I'm not trying to get money. I'm redeemed from poverty. I'm not trying to get saved. I am saved. I'm a child of God. I'm born again. I'm seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's the way it is. I'm not trying to get any of this. I have been given all these things by God. God the Holy Spirit was put in me so I could receive the promise of the Spirit. I have the Holy Spirit in me to bear witness that all those things are true. I know they're true. The Holy Spirit bears witness to me. That's the truth. What I'm saying is the truth. He's inside to bear witness of that. All that belongs to me. I'm already blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. What I got to do is talk and live like that's true. I got to believe it, talk it, and act like it's true. That's faith. It ain't faith just, well, I got my promise box and this scripture says it. Isn't that wonderful? And then go out and talk something else. Go do something else. Follow what the scripture says. Get over to what the scripture says. So Jesus said it. Now Jesus said this in verse 25 and we want to talk about it. Because Jesus, we're going to find that he made this statement in verse 25 and he says, whenever you stand praying. In other words, concerning prayer. Now we know he just said when you pray. In other words, he's going to tell us something like that is going to affect your prayer life of why prayers are not answered. He's going to tell us why. You can operate in the faith principle, the law, but if you break this law especially, the faith law will not work for you. It's like a guy out here that wants to fly, you know, an airplane. There's certain laws that he has to do or gravity will pull it down. Your airplane faith is going to crash if you break this law. You cannot fly. And he tells us what it is. This airplane law. He says here, and whenever you stand praying. Hey, didn't he say you had a kneel? Oh, I thought you had a kneel. Well, you know, he said you stand praying. Jesus said that. You can stand and pray. Sometimes I kneel and pray. Sometimes I stand and pray. You know, it don't matter. I found out stand and kneel and I get answers. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. Now, Jesus threw that down. So in other words, unforgiveness stops the law of faith from working. It stops it from working for you. It won't work for you. You know, it's like a guy going to the court, you know. Do you know we have these people, they go out and break a crime and a policeman shoots him and they want to take the cop to jail for shooting him. And our unjust justice system even listens to him. Shouldn't even be listening to these guys. We ought to all be able to get in line and shoot them. It's like, dear God. But we have all this nonsense out here. It's all this craziness. Stuff. God don't work that way. God is never unjust. Thank God is not like the American courts. Hallelujah. See, that's why if you get trapped over in all this stuff that's going on today out here and you keep listening to all this nonsense out here today, it leads you away from this. My God's just. He's going to take care of it. He's my strong tower. The righteous run into it. I'm safe. I am safe, folks. Hallelujah. Loads of Christians ain't safe, have no faith. They ain't safe at all. They're worried about everything that's going on. But we have this principle here. Jesus specifically stated this concerning prayer. So we can say this. There are two major things that stop people from operating in the law of faith. The first one is this, is just a matter of ignorance of the law. Majority of Christians, majority, well over probably 85% of Christianity is pretty ignorant on the law of faith of how it works. They don't know. They're not taught. Because most churches aren't spirit-filled churches. So they don't even believe in that. Most of them will criticize you teaching faith. Especially if I'm teaching faith, it's surely criticized. But I'm not mad at them or anything. I mean, I'm going to tell the truth whether they get mad or not. Don't matter. We're just going to talk the truth. You know, they had an opportunity to listen. Most people didn't pay attention to what Jesus taught. The crowds didn't. We know Jesus said they didn't. He said, I teach in parables so they don't understand. So they don't hear and don't understand. And we're going to that concern in faith is why some people, their faith won't work for them, is because they're unteachable. But the major thing is people are ignorant of the word. You got to become, you know, learn what the word says to operate it. But the other one is this one that Jesus mentioned here, unforgiveness. Unforgiveness is a great damaging thing to holding unforgiveness against other people. Because we're saying here, Jesus is telling us in this thing, I mean, look what he says. Listen what Jesus says. Jesus makes this statement, and so we got to listen to what he said. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive. Why? That your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. I want you to understand this. If you're holding unforgiveness against somebody, 1 John 1:9 will not work for you. Your Father won't forgive you your trespasses. That's what he said. That's what Jesus said. 1 John 1:9 will not work for you if you don't forgive. God will not forgive you. Now, let's go over to Matthew, the sixth chapter. I want us to look at something dealing with this unforgiveness thing. We need to deal with this because you don't want obstructions to this simple thing. See, many times people have obstructions and they do believe God. They believe what the Word says. They're saying what the Word says, but it ain't working. Well, then you need to check. Why ain't it working? You got to find out. You're holding things against somebody or something. You have things you need to get cleaned up. Now, I want you to see this, what Jesus said. This is really interesting because I know this, and I can say this with great accuracy. Probably a good 85% of people and even churches and stuff that pray the Lord's Prayer have no clue what they're praying. They don't have a clue. They say words, and all it is spewing words. They sing it. They do all kinds of things. But I want you to look at something. Here's Jesus, Matthew the 6th chapter, verse 9. He said, in this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That word hallowed, that just means holy is your name, you're holy. You know, God, this is holy is your name. He said, give us this day our daily bread. Listen to what he said. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Or some translations say trespasses. In other words, forgive our trespasses. What? Did you ever think about it? These people pray, God, don't forgive me unless I forgive. If they nearly knew what they were praying, most of them would never even say it. They say the word, Lord's Prayer is so wonderful. We make a confession in the Lord's Prayer, folks, that God ain't going to forgive us unless we forgive. It's right there in it. And we confess it. And people, it's such a holy prayer. Ooh. Lord, forgive me when I forgive. That's my prayer. Jesus got him on that one. Jesus got him on that one. Hallelujah. He got them confessing in a church today. Don't pay no attention to it whatsoever. Even the spirit-filled people ain't got a clue. Oh, my. That's good. Don't lead me into temptation. Now, he makes a statement. He says, but deliver us from evil. Now, that's an Old Testament. Number one, you'll see that this prayer isn't done in the name of Jesus. This is an Old Testament prayer. He said, deliver us from evil. See, in the New Testament, we couldn't do that. Well, you can't pray God to deliver you from evil because you've been given authority over the devil. You've been delivered from the power of darkness. They weren't under the Old Testament. They weren't. So they had to rely on God to take care of them. But in the New Testament, praying and ask God to deliver you from evil, it don't work. The churches that do this are full of evil, that sing this all the time and do this all the time because they don't preach they're delivered from evil. I've been delivered. I've been redeemed from all evil through the curse of the law. I'm redeemed from the curse. I'm redeemed from evil. If I'm redeemed from the curse and the devil still has authority over me, then the redemption of the curse is a pretty stupid thing. It ain't going to amount to nothing. The devil's going to win. Lead us not into temptation. He said, what are you supposed to deliver us from evil? And, he goes, for yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now, then Jesus, verse 14, listen to this. For if you forgive men their trespasses, here's Jesus talking. This is Jesus. Jesus, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. We need to get more seeker-friendly, maybe. What do you think? I'm sure all over the world today, the seeker-friendly churches are bringing this up. No, if you want the law of faith to work for you, you got to come in line. There's things that can hinder. Just like, the law of lift can be hindered if a person does something wrong that would cause gravity to take over. An aircraft loses power, it falls to the ground. It isn't because lift doesn't work, it's because the propulsion couldn't push it through there because it needs something because the wings cause lift, and when those wings don't have anything pushing it to cause lift, it's called going into the ground eating dirt. That's what it is. Well, you can do the same thing with your faith. Many Christians are eating dirt. They are crashing all the time with their faith. They're not dealing with these things. So there's one thing you always want to do is to make sure that you're not having any kind of resentment and animosity against anyone. is the fact that you forgive. Why? Some people say, I heard a minister tell me one time, supposedly a minister, I don't call him one. He told me this, he went to a seminary, and it was pretty much a cemetery. I think it was mostly tombstones where he went. He said that forgiveness stuff doesn't today, in a new birth, that doesn't count. Well, the Bible says this, we reap what we sow. So if I don't forgive, what? I'm going to reap what I sow. I'm not going to be forgiven. You reap what you sow. If you sow to the flesh, what are you going to reap? A real blessing? This guy said, said to another guy that Rhema was a kindergarten school. I'm so glad I went to kindergarten. He never even got to kindergarten. He didn't even go to daycare. That boy is dumb as a stick. But you meet him, he always acts like he's so spiritual and he's just dumb. And of all the things he said he was going to do in life, he has never accomplished any of them. He can't. Because you can't accomplish things for God and do it for God. You might do it, in the natural, and people might go along with, but for God, you're going to have to follow the rules that God has established and did. You're going to have to follow them because they're spiritual laws. And they're laws that govern the kingdom of God and how that spiritual kingdom works. And to do outside of it, it don't work. That's why it's believing something in your heart and then saying with your mouth the things that you believe in your heart. We're doing something spiritual. So that law stands for us. We must believe the word of God. So the law of faith will work for you. Now I want to just say, the law of faith will work for you personally every time that you stay within its guidelines and what it says. It will work for you personally. But the law of faith, you cannot make it work for everybody else all the time. You can't do that. You can't do that. If we could, we could just believe, I could believe God, make everybody get saved. Well, has that ever worked? So you can't get everybody healed. You can't everybody in your family. You can't do it. Husbands and wives need to understand this. They need to understand. No matter how strong one of them's faith is in one area, another, you're not going to be able to all the time. When I first started off, I could do things concerning faith with Wanda because she didn't know and she didn't understand things getting started off, but I knew and understood and I could use my faith. But today we operate off of agreement and I can't push my faith over top of her and get for her outside of where she can go. She has to be able to believe. But her and I have learned. We get together and on whatever we can agree on and we believe. That's why if I could believe more in one area than she can, it would be stupid for me to trying to believe what I'm believing and she can't. That'd be dumb. Because you end up with nothing. There's no agreement. Let me just say this. The prayer of agreement is generally this. Two or more people getting together praying the prayer of faith. That's what it is. That's why you should never, you want to ruin your faith life and your prayer of faith, you should never just be asking people things that you're standing in faith, using the prayer of faith for to believe to bring to pass, and just generally ask other people to pray for you. You should never do that. You should never call a prayer chain unless they know exactly, you explain to them exactly where you're standing. Can you agree with me on this? God lets a lot of things get by because of people's stupidity for a while, but it never goes long. He's not going to keep doing it. When you're praying the prayer of faith or you're getting the prayer of agreement, you got to stop and find out. That's why, when I did the thing when Wanda had her heart surgery, I didn't tell her, but I wasn't going to talk to the people in the church till Wanda and I were agreed to where we were standing on. And I said, if you can agree with us, and I explained to you the parameters, this is what we're believing. And I said, if you can't go there, then you just stay silent out of this thing. Why? Because you're not in agreement. I don't want you praying. I don't want you praying if you can't agree with it. Because we're in agreement in our faith to move in a direction. We don't want hindrances. We don't want people to turn around and hear, well, I'm going to believe for this. We didn't ask for that. Did you ever notice this? Look at the scriptures. Never one time did Paul ever say generally, just pray for me. Paul, every time in scripture, when he told them to pray for him, he said specifically what they were supposed to pray for. Every time. Not one time did he ever, the church, majority of Christians will just say, oh, pray for me. What? You get a lump on your head tomorrow, wake you up? What? It's like, what? But see, we have all these religious traditions. There are all these religious, we throw them out there and people think it's spiritual. When it's all carnality. Every time Paul asked to pray, he said specifically what he wanted them to pray for him. Why? That's the direction his faith was going. And he wanted people to get in direction of his faith and join together with him in his faith. That was called agreement. So you want to do that. See, the church doesn't use agreement prayer a lot. We have things we call agreement and getting people to pray, but we see a lot don't work or happen. Why? Because we just jumble this stuff all up and we're not following the laws and the rules of it. And God's sitting up there yawning. He's like, oh, man. Whew, hope somebody does something in faith today. I need something to do. I keep drowsing up here on this throne. The angels don't keep me setting up. I can fall over up here with these. God's looking for faith. So we want to hook up in that area. It's looking up. And this is what we're talking about. Why? Because God's desire is that your prayers are answered. That's what he wants. He told the disciples how they can get their prayers answered. He told them exactly what they need to do. Very simple things. Told them what to do. And see, if we will follow that principle, you're going to have to follow the principle. Whatever you ask for, you're going to have to believe you receive it at the time that you pray. If you're only going to believe it when you see it, forget it. It will not. That's not going to work. Forget it. That was not a prayer. God cannot get involved in that because that is not God's way. That's the way of man. Any person, faithless person, any Hindu, any Muslim, any group, they can all do that. They don't have to have any kind of faith in anything. People who worship idols, they can easily do that. You know, I can believe when it shows up. Oh, I'll tell you what a person of faith. I'll tell you, that's really getting out there. And so, it's all, most of the time with people, it's just based on the, visualization. But understand this, if you have authority, and this is one of the things, you have to learn the bounds of your authority. You don't always understand and know the bounds of, like when I first started off, I had to sort of learn this thing about where I could use my faith. It's number one, I learned with my family things I could do. Work with that. Even with your family, you have to work because your family comes to the place. There's things you're going to pray for your children as they get older, and it's not going to work because if they know things, they need to put them to practice. Kenneth Hagin said this. He said, usually with relatives, he said, I could get one major thing. He got, I could get something done for them. But he said, most of the time after that, that was it. Once they had the witness that this thing works, then now they're responsible to start to do something. I found with my children were the same way. See, my children, we've taught them the faith principles early. Well, I'll tell you, you don't wait for the church here to teach. And I never waited for any church to teach our kids things. I taught them from what I was taught, what I knew to do. You're responsible concerning the spirituality of your family, ain't nobody else. You are. You're responsible for that. People need to understand that concerning our kids growing up. Wanda and I took a responsibility to make sure that they understood things about them. It's just like, and I've told the story, and it's worth telling again, is like Elena. And if you don't listen to your spirit, you can pray and things don't work. Because you just, as a parent, you know, you're just going, I'm going to be God in my kids' lives. And what I'm going to do is I'm just going to pray and stand, and I'm going to make it work. And don't work, and you sit around, and then you come up with a theory. Well, sometimes God says yes, and sometimes he says no. It's just like Elena. I mean, if you don't learn to listen on the inside of you, when she was 10, maybe at most 11, I don't know, right around 10, 11 years old, and they brought her home from school, and she had fallen on her elbow in gym, and they had her arm in a sling, and said about taking her to the doctor, see if it was broken, and blah, 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 you know, and she was hurt, couldn't hardly move her arm without a lot of pain. And so I'm going to pray for her. I mean, here she is, 10, 11 years old. See, most parents will just, they won't listen. No, I got to take care of this thing. You know, all they listen to is their flesh. Their child's hurting, and they just jump right in their flesh. And they're going to make it happen. And the Lord spoke to me. See, I learned, never, never do I get, when a situation arises, I'm not Mr. Emergency, let's go get the ambulance guy. I'm not him. I'm not the ambulance. My first thing is to look on the inside. And the Spirit of the Lord said to me, just to clear on the inside, it wasn't an audible voice spoken, just on the inside of me. I looked on the inside, and in the inside, because I got a sense there was something, and I just, what's going on? And the Lord said, you don't pray for her. She knows how to pray the prayer of faith. You can agree with her. And you tell her to pray, she has to pray the prayer of faith. You see, if I'd have done it my way, it wouldn't have worked. If I would have rode past that, it wouldn't have worked. And you need to understand those things. And I didn't. And she prayed. We talked and we sat down and we prayed a prayer of agreement. We did this really strange thing. I ask her what scripture she's standing on, what she's going to believe. And so when she prayed, I said, amen, I agree with you on that. But we talked about it beforehand. You don't have any agreement if you didn't. You're just blowing wind and you're religious. Find out what it is. And so I found out. She prayed the prayer. I agreed with her, said amen. We glorified God. We did the prayer of faith. And you know what the prayer of faith was? We said what we wanted and then praise God that we got it. And we spent 2 minutes praying and about 10, 15 minutes thanking God we got it. Most people spend 40 minutes praying and 2 seconds thanking God because they really don't believe they got it yet. Man, I learned. I act like I got it. I talk to her. Thank you, Lord. I'm so glad she's healed. Glory to God, you're so good. Thank you so much for healing her. She had no signs of healing whatsoever. Why? I'm operating in the principle of faith. This is the prayer of faith. This is what I'm doing. This is the prayer of faith. You should get the biggest excitement out when you acted on your faith. You should have had a greater... to me, when it shows up, it's like, oh my God, I knew that was going to show up. I didn't know, big deal. It has to. I'm not surprised I feel better. I'd be surprised if I didn't. See, we got to come around. We're not following the rules. We have our own idea and our own things about prayer. And we're talking about the prayer of faith here. This is for a person, individual. Well, with Elena, it worked. It's like 20 minutes later, she comes out of her bedroom and she says, Dad, my arm's completely well. She said, I can move it. It don't hurt me at all. She said, it showed my arm where she had this big bruise on her elbow and all. She had about the size of a quarter. She had a bruise there about the size of a quarter, which went away shortly after that. But she could move her arm all around and that stuff. I mean, just now, folks, think about this. If a 10 or 11-year-old kid can do that, you ought to be ashamed if you can't. Now, I'm not saying that to be mean. And don't come up with that stupid statement of childlike faith. That's what I got. I have the childlike faith. That's what every Christian's supposed to have. It ain't supposed to, you're allowed to get dumb because you're older. You should be doing better at it as you get older. And if you're not, it's because you're a baby, not a child. My God, we can hear pins drop on that one on the carpet. Folks, look, this is the way I deal with me. I don't give me the break. I don't give myself an opportunity to pour oed. You can go and you know, you don't have to meet the requirement, pour oed. You do that to yourself, forget the faith thing. Don't even bother on this course because it'll amount to nothing. You got to sit down and say, if it works... Gonna let my daughter, 11 years old, outshine me on believing God. Dear Lord, I'd be ashamed. I'd be ashamed these stupid preachers that stand from, well, you know, these children can do it. It's just as kids, they're just, no, it's a sign that you've been preaching the wrong thing, because if you were preaching the truth, you'd be full of faith. And you're not, and that's why you look at somebody else and you marvel that somebody else could actually do it. It's no marvel. It's no, you do what the Word says and you fall in line with the Word. It'll work every time. You got to come to that place. The Word works. If it ain't working, something's wrong with me. I'm messed up. What did I do wrong? What do I need to learn? What do I need to understand? Instead of, well, I don't know, maybe God. And that's where the devil comes and boy, he'll come along. Yeah, maybe God. Well, that's not for you. That's okay for Ed. But, you know, because he's a preacher. Well, my daughter wouldn't. And it worked for her. So we can throw that all out the window. And that's what you got to do. Throw unbelief out. Refuse anything but the best. Shoot for the best. You know, when I was a drunk and stuff, I drank all the time. We'd go to bars. You know, when you went into a bar, you didn't want to go in and be the guy, I want to drink the cheapest stuff they got. I just care. You know, you get in a bar and around people, I want to be able to afford the good stuff. You know, I want to be, you know, we got to show off a little bit. I want to show. The drunks in the bar want something better. God's people in the church keep reaching on the bottom rung. They keep, I want less. Give me less, Lord. Give me less. Give me the cheap stuff. Give me Thunderbird. Let me drink a Thunderbird. God, give me that $10 a barrel stuff. You know, that's the church. We're supposed to be shooting for the top shelf. You know what? I can't reach a lot of things on the top shelf yet. But I'm going to tell you what. I am stretching for the top shelf. I ain't taking something less. I'm not going to do it. Well, I'm going to keep stretching to the top shelf. I want to get there when I'm drinking off of that shelf. I want to go to that one at the top. Hallelujah. The fullness of something. Instead of down here just getting cheap and every, you know, I have two things God did for me in his life, and that's the only things I can ever tell people because I only had two things I know he ever did. One of them he saved me, and the other one, I don't know if it was God or not, or was it just an accident. But anyhow, it happened to me, and I'll tell people God bless me. Over the years, I've had Christians come. You know, they only had like one or two things that they could ever really specifically know that God carried out in their life. Sit in spirit-filled churches. I had people who sat in this church for years and never had any manifestations, anything. Unteachable, hard-hearted, stiff-necked. Wouldn't go after anything. Listen to stuff and talk like about knowing stuff. They could never do anything. So you don't want to go. You want to be there. And say, man, I'm going after it. There's something better. There's something better to have. There's a place I could look. You can't ever take people along with you where you never went. You can't take anybody with you. You're not going to take your family further if you don't go. You can't. It's an impossibility. I was so excited the fact that my daughter, 10, 11 years old, could believe God and be healed. We took her to that place. We took her there. Hallelujah. My wife and I took her there. I was excited about that. God had brought her to that place because her parents taught her how to do it. That's exciting. But you know what? Man, I know Christian home people have been for years. Kids today, 30, 40 years old, and still can't get, wouldn't know anything about faith or don't know anything. You know, when they're little, I mean, it's one thing, you know, sometimes we go along till we got saved. Thank God my kids were younger. We could teach them, you know, sometimes they get older. But you get to, you put it into them, and we put it into them and put it in. Now today, she can't stand on daddy's faith. She can't stand on daddy's faith. She has a husband, and her husband have to believe God. You know, it's one thing as I did, as I told my daughters, both of them, when they got married. You know, I'm not your authority anymore. You would have got your authority. You marry somebody that don't know how to believe and walk, well, good luck. You need to understand that. Same with guys. You don't marry because she's pretty. You want somebody can stand somewhere spiritually. See, we don't deal with this stuff. These are the areas, you know, that we just like to have outside somewhere. But we need to understand the effect that comes out of this thing. My whole thing is this. I wanted my children can never stand before God and say they weren't taught. It's one thing as my daughter said, you know, they got older and they got married. They said, you know, there's one thing we say about her dad. He lived what he believed. They said that. Didn't say they agreed with everything I did, but they said, I live what I believe. I'll tell you what, that's so far ahead. That's so far ahead of so many Christians. Today, we have a talk Christianity. It's just words. I'm going to tell you what. I live what I believe. I don't know what to do with anything else. I've been at this because I ain't listening to anybody else teach any other stuff. If somebody's teaching other stuff, I quit listening to them. I stay over to listen. I listen to the Holy Ghost. My number one. This is my number one book. In fact, somebody gave me a book here not long ago. I haven't even read it yet. It was, you know, I just don't jump to books because people, yeah, get book read. That's fine. It's done. When God has me something over in the Bible, I just stay there. Don't pay attention to all the other stuff that's going on. When he's talking to me out of there, when he shows me, and sometimes, you know, I've had certain books where God just, you know, inspires, just put in me, you know, go read what he had to say, you know. God inspires me concerning things, you know, with caps and different ones to go back over to come into me. Go back over and read that certain thing. And I'll go back over and get it out and read through certain things that are said. It's listening on the inside, but the major book, this is the major book that the Holy Spirit always leads me to. Always. I have loads and loads of Kenneth Hagin's books, all of his stuff, love his stuff, grew up on his stuff. God will lead me more, probably 50 times more to look at this than he does any of those books. Because this is the place that I meet him, and the great Holy Spirit, the teacher, who lives inside of me, he likes the book. He loves the book. He's inspired by the book, and he inspires me through the book. He loves this words of God. He loves what Jesus said, because his whole job is to take what belongs to Jesus and show it to us. That's his whole job. See, if you don't like what Jesus, you'd rather have what somebody else said. You and the Holy Spirit are going to have trouble. He loves to take what belongs. He loves to show us what Jesus said. He loves to take what belongs to Jesus and reveal it to us. That's what he loves to do. And he'll commune with you and talk with you. See, I stand up here this morning. I was about which way I could go. You could go with a lot of ways in teaching and this stuff. But I was up here this morning, and while we were, their worship's going on, I'm talking to the Lord. And I'm just saying, Lord, if anything, I said, Lord, I want today, I want your word to be exalted today. I want the word to be magnified today. If anything takes place, the word will be first place. The word will be the things we desire to hear. You don't need to have Jesus show up in a vision if you don't pay attention to the word. You don't need it. You don't need to have the word. I want the word magnified. When I see what the word says, to me, Jesus done showed up. Hallelujah. When I know what the word says, hallelujah. Jesus has shown up. Jesus said, when I pray, whatever I ask for, if I believe I receive it at the time I ask for it, I'm going to have it. Hallelujah. Jesus said that. What do I need in another opinion? What do I need to hear somebody else teach how that works? Wasn't that good enough? I need a better explanation. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Jesus said, forgive or God won't forgive you. I just pretty well believe that's true. I don't need an opinion by somebody from a cemetery. I don't need that. I don't need people telling me, really, some religious person telling me something. I don't need that. I done heard what Jesus said. Jesus said, and quite, especially from the standpoint, in the things of prayer, we have two times in the things dealing with prayer, he says, got to forgive. And in the prayer, he told you to pray. Don't forgive me unless I forgive. Oh, my words. I know these churches, they aren't paying any attention. They're nothing but words said, and oh, the Lord's Prayer is so wonderful. Oh, my God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, it's good preaching anyhow. Glory to God. Let me just say this. I want you to see that something that Jesus said in John the 16th chapter. I want to read to you, and then, because we're going to go on next week and go into explaining, because we're looking at what Jesus said. And here again, we're going to look at what Jesus said. What Jesus said is always the most important. If you believe what he said and do it in line with what he said, it will work every time. That's what I found out is why Kenneth Hagin was so successful, especially in he helped me learn how to act and act out the word of God and get things to come to pass, because he just followed what the word said. If Jesus said something, he just believed it was true, and he would turn around and practice. That's what he preached, and that's what he would tell. That's what he would just tell us to do. In Bible school, that's what he'd tell you to do. Now, this is Jesus in John, the 16th chapter. This is Jesus on the night that he was betrayed, the night that he was taken and hauled off before the high priest and that. In verse 22, he says to the disciples, he's in this room with them. This is the place where he turned around and gave them the communion thing and all this. He said, therefore, he said in verse 22, therefore, you now have sorrow. Because he'd been telling them about him gone. They didn't get what this was about. He said right now, see, it made them sorrow. See, they were trying to figure out what he's talking about. They didn't know, but they weren't happy about what he was saying. Now, he said, you have sorrow. He said, but I will see you again and your heart will rejoice and your joy no one will take from you. Now listen what he says. And in that day. Well, what the day is he talking about? That's the day of, it's going to be the day of his resurrection. There's a day coming, and that day coming, it's the day of salvation. The day that men will believe on Jesus and be born again. And he's telling, in other words, there's a new covenant, a new age is going to start. And he says, what in that day? He said, you will ask me nothing. We need to understand this. We do not pray to Jesus. We do not pray to Jesus. Jesus said so. We'll go through more scriptures about this where Jesus specific. You never pray to Jesus. You can talk to Jesus. But if you want something, Jesus told us what to do. He said, most assuredly. And this word, most assuredly, if we would translate this from a judicial standpoint, we would be saying, I'm going to tell you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. That's what it means. I mean, there's no question. So Jesus said, look, I'm going to tell you this. You don't, that day comes, you don't ask me anything. He said, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, and see, we need to deal with this. We need to understand this. Jesus Christ in the new covenant is the authority of the covenant. You're seated in heavenly places at his throne, in the place of authority. Jesus has been given authority in heaven and in earth and under the earth. Now, he's given us his name. And he said, when you pray, you use my name. In my name, the Father will give you whatever you ask for. That's what he's saying. So what? If I want something, you need to get a hold of this. You must ask. You need to get a hold of this. If you want something, don't be one of these people which I've had, well, God knows what I need. That don't mean, I don't care what he knows you need. The Bible is specific, and we're going to go through these things. We're going to go through numbers of scriptures in the next couple of weeks. Go through numbers of scriptures to show you, number one, you must ask. God does not give you things because he knows what you need. If that was so, none of us have to pray and we never get what we want. Has that ever worked for you? Why would people teach and preach and say such dumb things? I don't care if God knows what I want. He said, I must ask the Father. He'll give me what God gives me, whatever I ask for, under the authority of the name of Jesus. See, when you got born again, you were given authority. You were seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You've been seated at the place of authority that you have the right to ask the Father, just like Jesus in the earth had the right to ask the Father. Was he ever denied in the earth? Was he ever denied? No. And he said, look, you guys, when this thing comes and I redeem you boys, this is what happens. Now, you use my name as the authority. You go to the Father in my name, and whatever you ask him, he will give it to you. That's what Jesus said. To me, pretty clear. I don't need an interpreter to get that one. It's downright pretty clear. Listen what he goes, verse 24. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you might get it. Sometimes he says yes, sometimes he says no. Good luck. No, he said, until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. He said, ask what? And the authority of my name, you can ask, and God will give it to you. Well, he may not want me to have this, or he may... Does he say any of that stuff in there? No, you'll have to go get that preached to you by people who say they're Christians. Jesus didn't say it. He didn't say that. That is men blowing their horn. That's religion trying to rob and steal. That's the thief who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what that is. Well, what if I ask him for another man's wife? Get saved, you won't do that. See, people bring up the dumbest stuff you've ever heard in your life. If you're asking for sinful things, it's because you're a sinner. That's why. Dear God. I've had preachers bring that stuff up, and I think, what on earth? What plan? They don't give wonderful scriptures and then turn around and hit the people on the head with a shovel like, well, you might not get it after all. No, you're going to get it. You're going to get it. But I want you to get this in yourself. These scriptures that we're using here, I want you to get a hold of these. So in a petition prayer, if I go to God, and that's what petition, in other words, I'm asking God for something, I'm giving a petition. Jesus did told me whatever I petition to the Father for, if I go to the Father under the authority of his name, the Father will respond to me. See, and we'll go on to teach as you go on, and we're going to build on this thing, and you're going to see. The scripture follows through with this. The scripture follows this thing through. And so, you know, it isn't just one little isolated thing over here. The scriptures play this whole thing out through the scriptures. And so you have to learn to walk in this. Don't accept it in some complicated way. When you pray, especially for yourself, like, you know, when your children are little, I could pray for my children, do different ones. There's one thing is I found out I could use this, you know, lots of times with a person, especially here in a church. I've said this before. Lots of times a new person came and really doesn't know a lot about what we teach or preach, I can almost get them healed every time. I get a person healed every time. I've had, I don't know how many times over the years, somebody come along and got them healed. But I know this, if they don't turn around and pick up and start doing something with it, you can't do it again. See, God will do things for people. You know, it's just like you go to Benny Hinn meetings. Benny Hinn, like say, if he goes out and holds a crusade, you get a lot of sinners into place and people who don't know much about healing have been taught in churches. They come, loads of them get healed. But I tell you what, none of them will come back the second time and get it. If they ain't operating in faith, they won't get it the second time. See, God expects something. Just like we do. Don't you expect anything out of your kids? I mean, are you still taking care of your 27-year-old kid? Well, if you are, you're crazy. Well, wait, folks. See, we get over and we get over into things. And know what? People believe God's like that. No, he ain't. He's not. He doesn't operate in that manner. There's things expected of people, and God expects things out of us, and he rightly should. You know, God expects Ed to grow up. God never expected Ed to come up and plateau somewhere. If you came to a plateau and you stopped, I want to guarantee you, you are not at that plateau now. You're lower. Nobody ever stays at the plateau. If you don't continue to grow, you'll regress every time. I know no Christian today that I've known over the past 20, 30 years that has come to a place of plateau and stopped to today. They're probably half the place that they used to walk in faith. Or half. That's just the way it is. That's the whole principle. We do it. If you went to school and you got a degree in something and you never used it or ever walked in it, you ain't gonna be as smart at it today as you were when you came out of college and you had that degree. You're going to be less. You're going to have forgotten a bunch of it. That's what you do. That's just natural. That's the way it is. See, you got to keep working at this thing. But I don't know about you. I love to work at it. I love to work at it because it's so good. It's so wonderful. It's good. When I look in the Bible, I read these scriptures. I've read these scriptures thousands and thousands of times, and I get as excited when I read them. I study them for here. It did so much for me. I couldn't wait to come here today to preach this because it inspires my faith. It inspires me to trust God. Dear Lord, I can believe God, he'll do it for me. Hallelujah. I knew that when I got here, but it's great to hear it again. If you don't like to hear it again, it's because you never heard it the first time. You never heard it. If you'd have heard it, you'd have said, my God, tell me one more time. Hallelujah. Tell me again how good he is. Let me know. Hallelujah. See, I've heard this thing, and I'm going to tell you what, it's good news to it. It's good news. It's better than anything that I ever heard in church till I heard these things. I was a kid growing up in all the service, I said, they never said one thing that was near this good. Wasn't even close to it. Hallelujah. I didn't even know if God liked me, and they told me they needed all to get saved. But they never talked like he really didn't care for me. So I didn't know what he wanted to do. I thought maybe he just wanted to shoot me and send me to hell. I didn't know. Dear God. Hallelujah. But God's good. Praise the Lord. Let's stand to our feet. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'll tell you what. God wants your prayer answered. He wants you, you know, thank God, we can pray together and we can agree together, but I want you to get inspired in this. God will listen to your voice. Right. He'll listen to you. You don't need to always have somebody else. It's good. We can have corporate prayer. We can have prayers agreement. They're wonderful. But the greatest thing to me is I can stand up here this morning and talk to God and he talks back to me. I don't have to get all you guys agreeing that God might hear me. Don't you want to walk in? You want to live in that same place, don't you? You want to walk there too. Hallelujah. And you deserve to walk there because you've been redeemed from the curse. And the curse is to walk out there in blindness and darkness and no contact with God. No, God redeemed you and God moved in and he lives inside you and you're the temple of God. And God has a voice and he can talk to you. If you can't come in contact with God in you, that's awful to think about that. Somebody lives in me. Would you go home and somebody lives in your house, but you can't ever come in contact with them? Wouldn't you think that's weird? I never see my wife. I wonder where she's at. Haven't seen her in years. Might be good. I don't know. Excuse me. All right, dear. I'll take you out to lunch. We'll talk about it. But see, we think about it. God's living in you. I've learned this a long time ago. People talk like it is, you know, just the rarity of God to speak to us. I don't know what that's like. I just, I can't imagine that God moved inside of me and he don't hardly say a thing. He talks a lot more and I listen sometimes. Sometimes I've gotten into trouble and I realized he had been trying to talk to me about what was coming up for a while and I hadn't paid attention. It wasn't because he didn't talk, it's because Ed didn't listen. But he listens. He's listening to us, trying to correct us sometimes. Did you ever get that? Don't be saying that. Don't be talking. Did you ever get that happen to you? And you went and said it anyhow and taught. Did you ever shoot yourself in the foot? Raise your hand. God's a healer. He'll fix your stupid foot. He's going to fix mine a number of times. Hallelujah. I don't pull the trigger so easy anymore. I've gotten better at it. I don't shoot quite as often. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. But God's in you, and he wants your prayers answered. There's things that you desire that he's given you. Just think about the curse of the law. Go back and read. Go to Deuteronomy 28. Look at all the awful stuff that's under the curse of the law. I'm sure you can find some things in there that you'll stop and say, my God, I've been putting up with that. I will quit putting up with that one. I'm redeemed from that. Is look at those things. But when you read them, say, God, redeem me from that. He doesn't want to. He's going to answer my prayer. When I say, he's going to be on my side. Because he's the one redeem me from it. Why would he redeem me from it and say, I want you to have it? No, I want you to be cursed. Because a curse is a wonderful teacher. Is the curse the teacher? Last I checked, Jesus said the Holy Ghost was going to come and he was going to be the teacher. No, today the curse is the teacher of the church. Hallelujah, but not this church. And not you people. Hallelujah. You're not going to let the curse be your teacher. Hallelujah. I had enough of the curse. I've had enough of the junk. And the devil likes to try to bring it on. He tries to come and get you to accept curse. Don't you ever accept curse. It comes knocking on your door. You stop, say, hey, hold it. I've been redeemed from that. That one's not mine. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, I want to thank you. Hallelujah. Lord God, you've taken us a lot of places, but you're taking us to a lot more places, Lord God. And not because, Lord God, we're just hearing things we never heard. Lord God, they're wonderful things that you've laid out before the foundation of the world, and you're refreshing us to your glory again. Hallelujah. You're breathing that fire back into us again. Hallelujah. There's a glory that we desire, and you're bringing it to us. Hallelujah. Lord God, and we're taking hold. We're taking hold of it in the name of Jesus. Lord God, I want to thank you. You're a God who responds to your people quickly. Hallelujah. You're a God, Lord God, that has an ear toward us. You put your great Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, living inside of us. Oh, my. Father, it's hard for our minds to comprehend that glory. The glory that's actually in us. Hallelujah. Father God, oh Lord God, when we got born again, the Holy Spirit moved in. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, we're so glad to have you inside of us. You're so glad because you do teach us, you guide us, and lead us into the truth. Holy Spirit, you help us. You help us in our prayer life, hallelujah, to act in faith toward our Master Jesus Christ and our response toward our Father when we pray, Lord God. I want to thank you, Holy Spirit. We need your guidance and your help, and you do help us. You're quick to help us. We'll have an ear towards you, Holy Spirit, to listen. And we're not going to listen to the curse preachers, Lord God. We're not going to listen. Lord God, Lord, we're not mad at them, Lord God, but Lord Father, I feel sorry for them, Lord God. Lord, they've been redeemed, but they keep preaching the curse. But Father God, I pray in the name of Jesus, we have a move of God, and the blessing of God gets so poured out, it awakens them in the name of Jesus to see, Lord God, Lord, that they're not speaking the truth, they're not telling the truth, Lord God, that they can turn and walk in the blessing, hallelujah, that you prepared for them before the foundation of the world. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Lord God, Lord, I want to thank you. Lord, today I'm standing before people. Every one of them's blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Every one of them's been redeemed from the curse of the law. They have been redeemed from spiritual death. They have been given spiritual life. Hallelujah. Lord God, they've been born again, children of God. They're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The Holy Spirit's in them and their temples of the living God. Father, I thank you. They've been redeemed from the curse curse of sickness and disease. Lord God, they have been given health in the name of Jesus. They have health in their bodies and in their minds in the name of Jesus. Health and healing are the norm for them in the name of Jesus. Sickness is far from them in Jesus' name. And Father, I want to thank you, Lord God, you've prospered them in the name of Jesus. Lord God, they've been redeemed from poverty. Lord God, they're blessed coming in and going out. They're pressed, Lord God, in their basket, Lord God, whether it's in their bank account, Lord God, in their wallets, hallelujah, in their houses, Lord God, money, blessings, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, they prosper. They have enough to meet all their needs and an abundance over to give to help others. And we thank you for it, Father, in the name of Jesus. They're like Abraham, hallelujah. They're blessed, hallelujah. He didn't have the curse, neither do we. Glory to God. But we have better than him. We have the Holy Ghost in us, hallelujah. And we thank you, Father, for it in Jesus' name. And that's these people right here, right now, today. Lord God, we're no longer going to try to get blessed. Hallelujah. Lord God, we're declaring our blessing in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Hallelujah. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Woo! Preach and prayed me happy. Hallelujah. Glory to God.